Well, good morning, everyone. It's great that we could all be here together, and some of our visitors this morning. It's always good to have you present with you, and encourage you to open your Bibles as we turn to some passages today. We're 2 months now. We've been talking about faith in God and foundations of our faith in God, and so that we have the faith that God requests of us, that He as we have noted in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And so my intention and purpose has been to teach on things and preach on things that help establish our faith, ground our faith, to give us faith, maybe that we don't have, or to see things that we maybe haven't seen before. And we've talked about God's attributes and various lessons. I won't even begin to try to go through all those now. But understanding who God is important to our faith. If we know a person, we understand in a lot of circumstances how they will respond. And so how does God respond in certain circumstances? We've talked about those things. God is our ally. And God is merciful and gracious. And so we've discussed those things and a few other topics. In particular today, I want to take a time to talk about the works of God. And it's in a way that I have not presented ever before. And as we sat and we talked about in Bible class this morning a little bit about Jesus went to Hades and went to Sheol when he died. We spent a lot of time talking about heaven. We don't really know a lot about heaven, okay? The way I teach about the afterlife is a place that exists. It's in the spiritual world. We can't comprehend completely what it's going to be like. John even wrote about that. We're not going to fully understand these things. We talk about it a lot, though, and we use the figures to talk about heaven, and we just sung our song about heaven. There's lots of things that's said about it, and I believe in a figurative sense because it's in the spiritual world. We're material. Right? And heaven is spiritual. God is spiritual. So I believe Scripture has been given to us in a way to make us understand it is a great place. And that's what we need to know. It's where we want to go. Similarly, there's a place called hell, and it's the place we don't want to go. And there are bad things there, right? So we understand that. And our lesson today, I want to talk about the works of God in you and in me. And we're not going to know everything. And that distresses me. I don't know if it distresses you, but it distresses me. But God said, and we're going to look at passage today to teach us, God works in us and through us. In the title I gave to my lesson, and I did not put it on the screen, so let's preface this. As we looked in Ephesians 3, God is able to do beyond human comprehension. You know, we want to put God in a box. We want to say God does this, God does that, and we know to the point that we know exactly and precisely what God does. We want to think that. But Paul said we don't. We can't. We're not capable. It's beyond human comprehension. And that makes sense. We're not God. We're not omniscient. We don't know everything. We're humans. We're living a carnal world with physical desires. I'm going to be ready to eat here in a little while. You know, and we have physical desires, and we live in a physical world, and we're not going to know everything God does and how He does it, how He goes about it. It is not for us to know, and that distresses. It distresses me. I want to know. You know, I want to know. So there's going to be many questions as we go through here as to how, when, where, and I'm going to say I don't know. But we can know affirmatively that God does work in you and me. And so that's what I want to look at today. God does, and we may just have to leave it there. We may just have to say, because we have to. You know, every time God doesn't call me and let me know, says, hey, Ross, I've done this today. Does that happen to anybody here? I mean, anybody want to say, yeah, God's told me that? I don't think anybody's going to admit, you know, God's not speaking to us that way. He don't tell us. But He asks us to believe. And that's where trust and belief in God comes in. I didn't see my sins washed away when I was baptized, but I believe it happened. How do I know? God said so. That's all I got to know. You know, I didn't see them washed away in the water, right? The symbol that's there. So sometimes we have to leave it there. So how God works among us is beyond human comprehension, beyond our knowledge. In our Hebrew passage here, Hebrews 13 is one of the several places we're going to look at. And I meant to tell you this earlier. If you like using those, the outlines, they are in the back. I would encourage you to get one today because of this topic. I have an abundance of scriptures, and you are welcome to, even now if you want to go back and get those, please do. And if you want to use that to study later in the week or go back and read through, that's great. That's what those are for, to help you with that. And encourage you to do that even at this moment. So, Hebrews 13, our scripture reading, verse 20 through 21. Notice what Paul has to say here. And this is a prayer of Paul. Paul is praying to God for these things to happen. Now the God of peace, who brought up the dead of the great shepherd of the sheep, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, may God equip you, I'm reading from the New American Standard, in every good thing to do His will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Paul is praying that God work in them to do His will, to His good pleasure. What is that? Oh, He does it, right? There's a heaven, and it's a great place. So to make them complete, make them prepared, to equip them, to make them fully ready, of all things in life, I think as we live, we realize the weakness of the flesh and live in a carnal world. We lack in some ways. And one of our goals as we grow in the faith and is to learn and study and apply in our lives to become better Christians each day, be more like our Savior, right? And God is active in that. And the idea of to make them perfect, or to equip, is the idea of repairing and adjusting. And I think that even adds more to the sentiment of how we are lacking, but God is able to repair and adjust. God is able. Of course, the King James, and I brought out my crutch, my old handy-dandy King James Version, and because I couldn't remember exactly what the word was there, and there he uses the word to make you perfect. The idea to make you prepared. God does that for every good work. For every good work is said there. To do His will, to fulfill His commands and purposes. And working in us, working in the Christian, in the Hebrews. And so He does these things. What does He do and how He does? I don't know. Says He does. And these things are well pleasing in His sight. And there's an identical passage. I say identical. This is very synonymous in Philippians 2. If you'll read that there in Philippians chapter 2, in verse 12 and 13. God working in us. Notice, and I love how Paul packages this in Philippians 2. So then, my beloved, in Philippians 2:12, just as you have always obeyed in my presence, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So here's the responsibility of the Philippians. Work out your salvation. Obey. Do the works of God. Be obedient. For, verse 13, it is God that works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. A very synonymous passage. Notice the similarities in that passage. It is God that works in them, in the Philippians. It's God that works in the Hebrew writer for His good pleasure. And so there's one of the great passages, two great passages with synonymous ideas there about God working in us. To have faith in God, to believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That is a necessity of us as Christians to have faith. And that's the nature of the faith, that God will help us along the way. We are not left as a ship pushed out to sea without help. God will be offering us help. God teaches us that He is there and He is still working in us. And a part of this process, again, how, when, and where, I don't know. But He says He's there. Just like with heaven. I can talk about heaven a little bit, but I can't tell you exactly because it's the spirit world. So, there in Hebrews 13. And then the Thessalonians, Paul writes to them there about this topic, their works in them, 1 Thessalonians 3. If you'll turn over there with me, 1 Thessalonians 3. First Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. I will read that as well. For those who like to turn their Bibles, you'll be glad my thin pages in my new Bible. I'm very slow. I've got a bad habit of turning there quickly and reading, but these pages don't turn fast for me. But so, 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 11 through 13. Now may our God and Father, turn page, Himself and Jesus our Lord direct our way to you. Paul's request that he be directed towards them, that God would help them get to them. And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you, that he may establish your hearts without blame and holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Again, we see the help of God involved in the Thessalonian Christians. The Lord make it to increase you to abound in love towards one another and all. And his work in establishing their hearts. How does he do it? Well, I can't explain that. When does he do it? I can't explain that. He says he does it. Right? Have faith. Have faith. In Hebrews 4. Not Hebrews. Ephesians 4. I have done that for at least 10 years now. I've switched Hebrews and Ephesians. We're going to Ephesians chapter 4. You will not find this in Hebrews chapter 4. So, Ephesians chapter 4. God also, as he works in us, also gives gifts. And gifts being abilities. He enables us with gifts. He says he does it. Ephesians 4. I want you to follow this with me here. Ephesians 4 and verse 7. But to each one of us, grace is given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. There's a parenthetical statement there. And now, in verse 11... says, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some teachers and preachers. So here he's listed four or five offices in the church, and there's a purpose for these offices, but what I want us to focus on, these are Christ-given. These are given by God. He's given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, and he gave these things. Okay? Now look at this list here. Now, so I've got here, and if you got the notes, you see the whole table. I just went and listed the synonymous passages that talk about the gifts of God to mankind. God gave these. And if you look, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, two places in 1 Corinthians 12, and 1 Peter and Ephesians. Now notice, some of these are very miraculous. I mean, these are miraculous. These are workings of apostles. It's a miraculous. The prophets, these things are miraculous. There's inner things intermingled that were miraculous, and absolutely some of them were, but they're not all miraculous. They're not. They're common things. Especially, let's look at Romans 12. A lot of the 1 Corinthian ones there are miraculous as well, though not completely. But in Romans 12, in particular, I'm going to turn there. I'm going to read a section of that passage for us today. In Romans 12, and starting in verse 3, for through the grace given to me, I say every one of you not to think more highly of himself than he ought, but to think and have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as with many members in one body, all members do not have the same function. So we are many are members of one body in Christ, individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to each of us, let us exercise them accordingly. And then he goes on and talks about these various gifts. Well, does anybody in here, can they exhort? Maybe you're good at that. Maybe you want to work on that, right? That's not miraculous gift. Maybe given by God, that's not miracle of any kind of miracle, right? Maybe you're a good giver. Maybe you're able to give. Maybe a ruler or someone who is of authority. How much, what about the idea of being merciful? These are said to be gifts of God. So again, how? When? I can't answer questions. But God works in us as Christians to accomplish his will, what is well-pleasing in his sight. So as we go about in life, we should live our lives with that confidence. As Christians, as followers of God, as seekers of God, that God is involved in working and accomplishing His will through us in some way. Again, He didn't give me a report and say, well, we all done this past week, but we're His tools. We're His workmanship. We're here as servants of His. And again, and we're not going to go through all of Ephesians 4 here, but he talks about the purpose of it. The purpose of it was not for our glory. Right? That's a Corinthian problem. They use their gifts for their own glory. Look how great a gift I've got, and my gift's better than your gift. They're all in a competition over these, and who's better, and who's best. And this is for God's purposes. This is for edification of the church, for the work of the ministry, for serving Him, not for our pleasure. That's the purposes of these things. Also, in John 15, God prunes. Now, in the farming world, we prune trees to help them produce, and that's the analogy being made here, is there is a vine, and Jesus in particular is saying here, and let's turn to John 15, and John chapter 15, the parable of the vine is given. And one of the great messages here is that Jesus is the vine. He has got the root system we all are grafted into. And so it says there in John 15, start at verse 1, I'm the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Okay, so Jesus is the great vine Himself, and God is the one who goes around and does the pruning, does the fertilizing, does all the work around the vine, as it were, the picture being there. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it so it will bear more fruit. And so it's like, especially when you see fruit trees, it's hard for me to watch a fruit tree because they start out so nice and pretty in the spring. They start putting blooms on. There's blooms everywhere. And what happens about come August and September? The fruit gets big and the old tree starts breaking down. They even fall apart. I've seen, especially peach trees, they like to have three or four stems on a peach tree, and they'll just split in half. So the idea of pruning is you prepare this in a farming culture. You're preparing this tree to either to bear the fruit up, so its limbs are strong enough to hold it. You get this one little sapling that can run out 4 or 5 feet, and you got three or four apples hanging off of that off the end. It's going to be dangling down the ground and break off, right? So there's a whole lot involved. There's reasons to prune. You know, to make the branches stronger, to make them the base of it, and more branches even, to bear fruit, the right number of branches. It's managing tree growth. And these are all secular, common agricultural ideas about pruning. That when you say prune, that's what you're thinking of. God does that to those who are His. God does this, right? The vine dresser prunes so it will bear more fruit. Well, how does He do that? I don't know. It says He does. And with that knowledge, we can know and go forward in life and realize some things are making us better, making us stronger, making us who we need to be, allowing us and preparing us for what is coming in the future. And it says God's active in that. God is active. We're not just ships without a sail in the sea, as it were, without any support. We're not alone. We're not alone. And then Hebrews 12 speaks of chastening. And again, I don't know. The Hebrew writer, probably Paul, said he does it. How does he do it? I don't know. But we know in the end that God, as we've studied in the Roman, as God is our ally, things that happen to us are for our benefit, for our learning. And James spoke of that, at least as the trials are concerned. There's lots of things that develop us and allow us to grow and become stronger. God's involved. Have faith. Trust Him. Also, on another level, it's very similar. So as we think of the idea that God is involved in our own abilities, in our own development, in our own growth, He's also involved in our interaction with others. God opens doors. God opens doors. And my favorite passage on that is it's here in 2 Corinthians 2:12. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. God opens doors. So God provides opportunity. God provides opportunity. And there's probably a couple of levels to look at this, but these passages bring out these open door ideas, these opportunities that were opened commonly to apostles, but not just apostles. But here in 2 Corinthians 2:12, when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, a door was opened for me in the Lord. A door was opened for him. And again, if you look at 1 Corinthians 16:8 through 9, a door was opened unto me. This is where I'm not going to read through all these, because this is where, if you have this, you can welcome, take these home and read them certainly. Again, 1 Corinthians, so again in Colossians 4, pray that God would open a door of utterance. And whatever Paul was looking for here, he was looking for an opportunity to accomplish God's will. It was said also of a church, an organized group of Christians. In Revelation 3, verse 8, I will turn to that one. So the seven churches of Asia there in the book of Revelation. God had opened a door for them. This is the church of Philadelphia. And a church that was kind of doted on by John, or Jesus, actually, there in Revelation 3. Notice what's said in verse 8. I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door, which no one can shut. Jesus says, I have put before you an opportunity, and no one can get in your way. I have given you an open door, and no one, no man can shut it, because you have a little power. You have kept my word, and you have not denied my name. Well, I don't know. If God's going to work with us, we might need a bigger resume than that. Sometimes we might think of that. I need to be more developed. It says, at least of the church, you have a little power. It says little. And you've kept my word. Well, there's a lot said in that couple of words, right? And you've not denied my name. God gave them an open door. An open door, not an opportunity. What was it? Well, and even there, Jesus didn't say what the door was, what it led to, but he gave them an opportunity. Jesus, in this case, was active in that. And so how? When? Where? Don't know. We don't know those things. I think one of the great examples, and there's probably a lot more, there's a few other passages associated with these open doors, but basically God's providing people, and it, you know, some of these are Paul, an apostle, right? Paul, you know, he had a different relationship than we do with the Lord. He had a different relationship with God. He was an apostle. He could work miracles, do some things. But even then, we look at the church, there's an open door. Paul, when he was in prison, what do you think? Well, he can't get nothing done in prison. What are you going to do? You're locked up. Can God use somebody in prison? Well, you know what? They came to him. God had open door. And if you remember, you read in Philippians, he was able to preach and teach to all the people in the palace. So no matter what circumstances, we can be useful. There can be open doors, no matter how bleak we may feel like our circumstances are. We can have opportunity. And of course, certainly, obviously, we have to admit, Paul had a different relationship as an apostle of Jesus Christ. But God used him, and he used him in ways that I'm going to say are not stopped today. We have opportunity to help those around us. And I think that's what the gospel message is about to us, is look, God gives us a chance. He deploys us to his service. Jesus doesn't come and make disciples today. He used people from day one. Jesus used people from day one, and he uses us today to spread his message and convert and to teach and to encourage and inspire others. That is our purpose. The results are of God. This is kind of back to the Ephesians 4 passage about all these gifts of God in Romans 12, talking about the things that God enables, and the Corinthians were like, oh, this is great, and y'all, my gift's better than your gift, and your gift's not so good, and I'm, you know, and oh, wait a minute. No, Corinthians, look. God gives the increase. These are the fruit of God's work. God, you, this is not you at work. This is not Paul at work. This is not Apollos at work. This is God at work. Again, God is working. How? 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. He produced results. So as the Corinthian brethren were were arguing, they was fighting over, they was debating over who had the best, who they was baptized by. I'm better than you because Paul baptized me. Paul actually touched me, and you got baptized by somebody else, so I'm obviously greater than you are. You know, during the competition, Paul reminds them, look, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. New American Standard says God caused the growth. God is an act of all this. We are just servants. We are just ministers. But we are a tool of God. God is at work. And I think sometimes I know I'm hesitant to say it because I don't know. I can't put my finger on it and say, look, I know God did this. I know God did it. God didn't tell us those things. He's not giving me a report every week or month or year, you know. But he says he does. And we can believe. And we can know. And have faith as we walk out in this world and live that God works through us. Just some other references. The hand of the Lord was with them. What does that mean? I don't know exactly, but it was their benefit. It was a good thing, right? They obtained the help of God at this point. And again, look at these passages. Encourage if you don't have one now, when you leave, grab one in the back table if you don't forget. You look at these passages and see God at work. So in summary, God works in those who are His. God works in us. It's something that should help us in our faith towards God, in our faith to approach the world, and our faith to go out and to live in the world that we live in. That God still is working in us and through us to accomplish His will. So there in our scripture reading, Hebrews 13, in verse 20 and 21, may God of peace equip you in every good thing to do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul's prayer on behalf of the Hebrews audience there, the Philippians, a very synonymous passage, almost identical. You're accomplishing God's will, and He helps us in that. He is with us in that. For the Thessalonians, the Lord to make you increase and abound in love and establish your hearts. God is active in that. Giving the gifts for us to operate and to do and perform His will. Some of these are sourced by God. They're given by God. In Romans 12, there in verse 6, I believe it was, in Romans 12, spoke of those. And they're not all miraculous. Some of them are miraculous. And we realize that the work of those miracles was for a certain time. We have the revealed word today. It is not necessary for someone to come and confirm this word is there. But that don't mean God doesn't work with us anymore. He does. He prunes. He's a pruner. He's a farmer, and helping to make us stronger and become who we need to be. Right? He chastens, opens doors of opportunities, and of course the results are of God. They are not ours. Not something for us to boast of or to glory in. They are of God. We are but servants and ministers in this world, in this life here. So what are some lessons we learn? Have faith. God is able and is beyond our understanding, our comprehension. We don't always know the what, why, where, when, but we know that God has promised us. He's told us. He works in us. There's lots of questions we have. We're not omniscient. We're not going to know them all. And maybe that sometimes, at least in my mind, I'm hesitant to provide lessons I don't understand everything about, but I think there's something we can know. He's active and working, and have faith and know that He is. God does. And we have to leave it there. We may just have to leave it there. We don't know what else to say. We know He does. And that should give us, at least to me, it gives us confidence as we approach the world. There's a lot missing. I got lots of questions. I want a lot of blanks filled in. They're not. What do we do about it? Have faith. Believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's Ephesians 11:6. There is a consistent thought through these passages. God gives us ability. He develops us. He deploys us, and He produces the results. Now, we're not going to leave it there, but we don't like the unknown, right? We don't like what we don't know. We are in a society where we have figured out so much about science. Reading an article, we've lost that awe of creation, awe of what's around us and what happens. And it's just kind of mundane anymore. It's just normal, natural. We have math calculations where we can shoot a rocket out of our atmosphere and have it come back in, and even go around the moon and back. We have all these great and astonishing things that are not as astonishing anymore. So they just happen. They're mundane. But we don't understand everything. And we can't with God because we're not omniscient. Our part. Now see, I don't know if we'll do the lesson or not. I got a lesson about the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign, but he also lets us have free will. And he also changes his mind. Okay? But the point of it is we have our part to play. God, Hebrews, we place our faith and trust and confidence in God. He didn't tell us that we would know everything. He didn't tell us we would see everything. He even told Doubting Thomas, "Is blessed are your eyes because you see, and blessed even more so are those who believe, who don't see and still believe." And that's us. Blessed, but we are to trust in him. That's where our faith comes in. The idea of, we talked about this last week, talked about prayer. Asking, seeking, and knocking. Jesus says, ask, and it will be answered. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. How? Oh no. Oh no. Says he does. Believe him. Believe him. He's active. It's important as we look at Galatians 6:1 to producing spiritual fruit. We're not doing it by ourselves. But neither are we sitting idle in a chair in a recliner with a remote control flipping through channels of life that this stuff just comes automatically to us. We have a part to play. And I think the best thing to do is the, at least in my mind, is we go out and we seek to do, we consider to meditate upon what we need to be doing, meditate on who we need to be, and the adaptations we need to make in this life. And as long as we continue down that road, God is there beside us, making sure it happens some way. Because if we're left to our own, we're going to go to comfort. If we're left to Satan's own, he's going to destroy us. But we got God there to help, right? Have that sober mind, not to have an arrogant response or an overly comforting response that we don't do anything. We just sit back and sit idle. That's not what the program calls for. That's not the recipe for results. But God will use us if we put ourselves into service. Pray. Pray. Pray for him to work in us. That's what Paul did. He prayed for the Christians. He prayed that God would work in them. Right? We can pray for God to work in us. And pray for our ability to help others and work where we're at. You know, we are tools. God, Jesus is not out making disciples today. He leaves that with us. Jesus is not out in pulpits trying to teach people about righteousness. He left that to us. So work where we're at in whatever way we can, whatever ability we have. God-given ability. Use it. Develop it. Right? He's there with you. You're not alone. We're not alone. We're not alone. And as I made note of, several of these passages we looked at, they were Paul's prayer to God on behalf of Christians, that these things be so. Patience in life, that's kind of the hard part. You know, you have things you want, you desire in life, things you desire, you want to do, you want to become. It is, if God is active, we need to endeavor and go to work to be diligent to endure. If God is active, we know what we're going through right now may be hard. Be long suffering through these times. Patience is required. Sometimes we can show up at a problem like a fireman to a house with a fire. Well, the first thing they're going to do is break the door down, and then they'll spray water all over everything, and sometimes leave a bigger mess than what was there. We'll be careful we don't do that. We got to respect, have patience in dealing in life and working in this life here. Let God's will be done. We made a comment. I know I stole this from somebody. I can't tell who I stole it from because I don't remember. But let God be God. We want to let God's will be done. Trust in him and trust his results. Trust where we go and what we do is beneficial. Not that we have a blind trust, an inactive trust. We purpose to do what's right. We purpose to do what's good and be who we need to be. But ultimately, we have to let God be God. We have to let God be God. God to God be the glory. This is all of his results. Certainly, no place for our temptation to boast. So how, when, where, and all? I don't know. We can be tempted to forget and even not believe that God is working in us, and Scripture abounds that God is working in us. And we just need to be prepared for service. Be prepared for service. So, and place our faith in God to do as he has promised he will. Are you a Christian this morning? You can be outside the grace of God. You can be outside of His mercy. You can be outside of His benefit and His grace and His help. We don't want you to be there today. We want to do what we can to help you in your relationship with God. Become the kind of, to begin that walk that the Jesus, our Savior, and His apostles were commissioned to go out and to teach and make disciples, baptizing them. And we would do that this morning if you would desire to do that and be put in the right relationship with God. If you've done that and you've fallen off the way, and again, you have gone to a place you don't need to be, if we can help you, we want to be here for that this morning as well. And you're welcome to let us know those things as we stand and sing of our song that Dennis has selected for us.